Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you. Gentlemen and guns coming.
Now, this is a podcast. This is how a Zoom should have been done. We Zoomed, I think, right before we opened up this studio. They were both coming out to LA, but I wanted to get them on because I love History Hyenas. We talk, it's now defunct, which is, I'm glad they're doing their own thing. I think it was really hard to get people together, and I know that it's been hard for us. But, as you know, I'm obsessed with history, and those guys know a dickload about history. They are hilarious, but they're hilarious together. The way they pop off each other is next level. I first met Giannis when he did Something's Burning with Schultz, with Andrew Schultz. I met Schultz that day too. I think I'd met Giannis before then, maybe. I think I had. And like probably like a Skanks Fest. But that's when I first got to like see him on a podcast when we were doing Something's Burning. And he blew it away. He is so quick, so funny. He says something that's a throwaway that I hold on to for a week and try to incorporate into my conversations with my wife. Oh, you're getting cracked open. He's got a fucking rot. Like the way he talks is brilliant. And Chris DiStefano, everyone knows. I feel like I love that guy. I love that guy absolutely to death. Those New York guys right now are killing it in the podcast game. They're fearless. They're murdering it. They come in. It's like they prepare. They're doing so much better than we've ever done in LA because we just went over to Joe's and got high and then said regrettable stuff. They're coming in, murdering it. So you're going to love this podcast. It's a Zoom, but I'm telling you it's worth it. My buddies, Chris DiStefano and Giannis Pappas.
This is Nerdcast.
Hello.
Where are you guys?
Can you see me?
Yeah, I can see you. Can you see me?
I could see you. I can also see a guy named Halston Savigny. That's a fucking wild Viking name. What's
Halston
up, guys?
Savigny.
Hi, Halston.
What's going on?
Wow. Are you guys in the hellhole that's New York?
We are. Are you in the hellhole, LA?
Oh, you have no fucking idea how bad this is. Yeah. We are flooded with homelessness. Flooded. It is so fucking bad here. It's not as bad as Texas. I mean, fucking Tim Dillon's ice skating to his mailbox every morning.
I know. They just got power back yesterday.
Yanni, are you really going to move there to Austin? Or is that just jokes?
No, I'm moving there.
No,
that's
are you
insane.
Serious? Are you serious?
Until this ice storm, and then I was like, maybe there's nowhere to run. Maybe I'll move to Venezuela. That might be the only safest place.
Dude, Schultz went to fucking Miami.
I know.
Do you know how hard it is for me, a Florida kid, to watch Andrew Schultz rape my culture?
he looks like he's raping Justin Bieber's culture the most.
Dude. What the fuck? Let's fucking light up Schultz for a second.
Yeah.
So was he on the Kevin Hart program? Because now all of a sudden he's boxing and he's putting it on. What the fuck?
I think he's already crashed like three Lamborghinis. Schultz, he's a wild kid.
I think they're in a competition to see who can get Corona a second and third time. They're all getting Corona.
Yeah. They've all got it again. His Instagram post the other day was, remember how I said you couldn't get Corona twice?
Yeah. And don't get it twisted. You keep seeing he's posting Sauce Monkey all the time. That is from the mind of Giannis Pappas. Just remember, Sauce Monkey has been said on the History Hyenas for years by Giannis Pappas and Mr. Pano. So don't let him run away with fucking Sauce Monkey. That's our shit.
What is the thing?
Sauce Monkey was yours. Mine was Snow Monkey.
Oh, yeah. So then he took Sauce Monkey from me.
What is the thing with a comic when they start to blow up, they take boxing lessons?
I know. The good news, at least I've been taking it for fucking 5 years and I'm still living in a 2-floor walk up. So
you'd watch. It's such a weird thing to watch Kevin Hart
box, like to be like this is a part of my personality I want you to see, which kind of makes sense because he is smaller and he was probably like, I can defend myself now or whatever. But it's so fucking odd. You know, it's so crazy. I actually think it's bad luck to put yourself working out, like doing like, I got a personal trainer. This is my new Instagram angle. I think it's bad luck. I think it's the same as working for Buffalo Wild Wings. You do, can't fuck luck with that.
Yeah, dude,
you're
look,
right. It makes guys want to challenge you, like when Mike Tyson goes to jail. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at how Tom Segura ended up fucking crippled with his arms behind his back.
You know what it is, man? We performed for so many years in clubs without security. I think once you start getting a fan base and you start getting some of those DMs where people start saying crazy stuff, you're like, yo, I may have to take matters into my own hands. I have to learn to box just to fend off. I got to go to Soul Joel's in Royersford, PA. I saw Big J. Okerson got attacked. I need to learn karate.
Big J. Yeah. Okerson got attacked.
He got attacked
by one of his own fans. I think it might have been a family member.
Yeah, but Kevin Hart needs to know how to, I mean, you know, he's a big famous guy, but he's also a squeak. I mean, he's an itty bitty mini guy. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, if you could get past his security and he doesn't know how to box, I could just put my hand out and he's not going anywhere. He's just going to be running against my fucking palm.
Yeah. Those boxing skills he learned will only work on Dr. Fauci or Beetlejuice. That's it.
And 11 year olds.
I love the news today. Dr. Fauci is changing his tune now, saying that the vaccine, he was saying last week, if you have the vaccine, it doesn't mean you can pass, you know, it means you can still pass COVID. But now Fauci Fauci's saying, if you get the vaccine, you can't pass COVID. So I want to fucking push that little guy in a swing and get the truth out of him.
Yeah.
I'm so tired with fucking the 9 things of what we now know to be true until you get to the one. They're like, oh yeah, you should wear a mask. Actually, double dip it, man. Like,
yeah.
It's the opposite with condoms, because you couldn't wear 2 condoms when you were the whoer.
You were supposed to friction.
I think even people who were like hardcore maskers, once they said, double up the mask, I think that's when they jump ship. And they're like, you know what? You're jumping the shark now. You want me to just put on a mask? Should I just walk around in a bed bug suit? This is getting ridiculous. I'd rather get corona than walk around double masked. It's ridiculous.
By the way, I realize I've signed on to the Zoom as my girlfriend. So please, when you're promoting the show, just say this is Jasmine Canuelas and Giannis Pappas.
Yeah, I signed on as a History Hyenas. I don't even know how that happened.
Yeah, that show's fucking over.
Bert, you know what? People want to know why we ended History Hyenas. Can we say it on your show?
Yeah, please.
The truth is we were put together by a boy band podcast producer.
Yes.
And we had some contract issues. We were both molested. It was Lou Pearlman's son. And we've had enough. We're putting him on notice. We're taking legal recourse. Yes. And so once we deal with this, and once we go through therapy, who knows what will happen? But enough is enough. We're not letting Disney take 70% of our money anymore. And I'm not going to tour one more time in Belgium or Germany. I've had it.
Yeah, we're not. Listen, the NSYNC, it was Lou Pearlman, and we were molested by Ron Pearlman. So that's just the truth. And also Rhea Pearlman.
Yeah,
I remember. See, I'm like the old school podcast generation. So like, I just deal with one person, and then when I get an ad, I get all that money, right? Yes. I remember hearing the like when celebrities got into podcasting, and they're like, no, it's a good deal. So we split it 50-50, and then they obviously pay for all, you know, all the overhead then. And I was like, overhead?
Yeah, what overhead, dude? You're giving 50% away or 20% away to your agents for no reason, dude. We could do the fucking ads.
Dude, there's such a scam in this fucking business of podcasting where I get so frustrated, and I've been taken for it. I signed a deal once with a big name comedian, old Freckles, and I remember doing the math going, I think we're getting butt fucked. And he was like, and then you get Bill Burr upset. That's my favorite thing in the world, to get him worked up.
Oh, well, you should listen to some History Hyena episodes, because Bill Burr got real upset. Yeah. On our podcast.
Well, what happened?
Well, me and him, we just had a huge phone call, and we reconciled, and it was beautiful, and it's all love now. But yeah, I mean, he can come at you. He can come at you. He's an old school. I bet you he can throw hands too. He looks like Richie Cunningham, but no. I bet you he's got like 5 brothers. I guarantee you he's an Irish kid. Those kids never go down. No matter what their face looks like, they will stand up.
You can't break their teeth. You can't break their teeth either.
Yeah. No, I bet you I could hit him in the kidneys. I could shatter his fucking kidneys, his rib cages, but I could never knock his teeth out. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I said something to Bill once that he sat on for 2 fucking weeks, stewed on it. And then it came to a head and I went, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
It's the most innocuous. I get in his car. He's going to hate this. I get in his car and he's got monsieur, oui. And he goes, you know, we're teaching the kid French. And I go, yeah. I go, it's an old dad move. We all tried that, Bill. And he goes, what did you call me? I go, old dad. And Bill took it and put it in the bottom of his red heart. And he sat on that. And all of a sudden, he goes, out of nowhere, he goes, you know, you said something to me that I haven't let go of about a couple weeks ago. You called me an old fucking dad. I'm not an old fucking dad. And he lit up and I went, I was drunk, man. I just don't know what I was saying. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it's also like, Bill, you are 52 years old with a 3-year-old. So you are technically an old dad.
He's like, what's the dude from Family Ties? What's his name? I can't remember.
Michael Richards?
Oh. No. A little squeak. He's got
Michael J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future. Remember, there was that one thing you called him. What was it? Like, you called him like a loser a coward. Yeah, coward.
No, you called him yellow. Yeah, yellow. Right.
Right. Yellow. And then we were supposed to believe like he turned into the Hulk or something like that. Yeah, it's like I guess that's what happened with Bill right there. Old dad, he can't handle that.
It's when you hit like I have things I say about myself. And if you say that and you know, Bill, I'm sure is like maybe I'm sure you, the second you have kids, you go, I should have done this younger. This anyone has kids goes, this would have been fun when I could do a lot of shit with them. Now I'm going like my second family would be a fucking blast. I'm killing that fucking shit. I would love a second family.
Dude, a lot of pilots have second families. Like, I think a lot of guys become pilots so they can have a second family in San Francisco.
Yeah,
I would love that. I'm doing something abroad soon, and I'm trying to pass off my wife. Like define like cheating. Like an affair is big deal, but like cheating, and she's like, no. Like just a hand job or like yeah. Hook up with a chick. Like, that's really that bad? And she's like, yeah. I go, no, but I get an affair. Like, I get an affair, but right. You just got Invisalign. Like, come on.
Dude, in France, if you're going abroad, I don't know what country you're going to, but if you're in France, technically, the French don't, you can cheat on your wife in France as long as you don't have an affair, as long as you don't fall in love. But if you just hook up with another woman on your wife, the French, it's like totally acceptable. Sorry. The French is totally acceptable.
It's polite for in France it's polite to fuck a guy's wife. That's polite. Otherwise it's rude.
You get put in a doghouse like if you didn't, you know, take out the trash or something like it's like the same offense, but if they catch you actually in love with another woman, then you're fucked. But just to have sex, they're like we're adults here. It happens. It's expected.
How great do you think it was to be a man 200 years ago when you were setting up laws and you're like, "No. You can hit them, but it can't be bigger than your thumb. Like, that's the rule of thumb, right? And everyone's like, hey, it works out.
Yeah.
Dude, it was probably good to be a man even like 20 years ago before the internet. You could have a second family 20 years ago and get away with it. Now you can't even be a serial killer, which is like atrocious. Imagine like you were born with the talent to be a great psychopath with great murder skills. You can't even get away with it. You can't even have a second family. You can't get away with anything anymore.
I know. I was watching. I know, Giannis, you watch it too. The Night Stalker about Richard Ramirez.
I had the same thought.
Oh, you saw it? Yeah. I was like, this is like the 80s. It was wild. It's like now, like he would have killed one person and then just got caught on the fucking Ring camera and it would have been over. There would have been no documentary.
The only way to like get caught back then before forensic and all that is like if a guy saw you murder the hooker. It was like unless the hooker lived or a guy was just like watching you, you would just get away with it.
Right.
I was watching, you want to know how crazy I am? I was watching on the History Channel, oddly enough, they have a show called The Food That Built America. And they're talking about Hershey, the guy Hershey. And these were guys.
Milton Hershey.
Yeah, they would invest $1 million. They would go in debt $1 million to build a city all based around chocolate. And I was watching this reenactment of this guy casually walking through a city that he built, knowing that he had all his life invested in it. Without any fear of getting canceled. Like none of the shit he said in the past is getting drugged up. He just, in his head, he was like, yeah, this is how it works.
Yeah.
I'll be a gazillionaire soon and I will treat people like garbage because they are.
Well, Bert, I'm doing the same thing. It's just with Bitcoin. I'm putting my fortune in Bitcoin.
It's kind of fun too. The whole cancel culture is kind of fun. It's almost like a game of Frogger where you have to like, it's turned life into like a video game, especially if you're like an entertainer. You got to kind of figure out how to maneuver around it. Like Barry Sanders, you're like, oh, the woke kids are over there. You go over there. You're just constantly cutting around it and trying to get into the end zone. It's pretty fun.
I'll tell you what, like I said, when I said, when Trump got elected, I said Trump got elected the only time. I was on a podcast and I said, who voted for Donald Trump? And I said, it was white guys who weren't done saying faggot. And like they weren't done with that word. They wanted to keep saying it. And they said, this is how we get it. And
yeah, I was when I voted for him, that's what I put in and I didn't check it. I just wrote faggot next to Donald Trump. That was my vote.
And so I said, and so then I was talking to someone and they were like, you know, the cool thing about cancel culture is it makes comedy dangerous again. Like when you do take a big swing and you hit it out of the park, I'm telling you, when I started, no one was everyone was killing hookers in the back of the car and blowjobs and donkey punch. There was no chance of shock. Now, when you take a big swing, people are like, whoa, yeah. And it's fun again. It's got fun.
Yeah, you know what? Like, if you don't want to get canceled and you like to tweet about, like, the Jews holding up the world, maybe don't take a movie at Disney. You know what I mean? Maybe start a Patreon. I mean, Gina Carano, it's like, you do work at Disney. I don't know if that's the coveted, demographic for hearing your opinions on how the Semites are controlling the globe.
Yeah. By the way, doesn't Disney have a track record of being notoriously anti-Semitic?
I hated
them.
Somebody told me that there's no actual proof that Walt Disney was actually anti-Semitic. And I said, there is proof. He was a white guy who wasn't Jewish in the 1940s. So that has a 100% connect rate as far as anti-Semitism.
There's no proof that my great grandfather was racist, but I'm going to take the over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think the guy was probably a great guy. I'm certain he had some unsavory thoughts.
My grandfather, to the end of his life, would never use chopsticks or even go into a sushi restaurant because he still considered Japan the enemy.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
But he fought in World War II, so.
Let me tell you something. You want to talk about progressive. George W. Bush was shot down just in the Sea of China. And his best friends who he went to war with were captured and eaten by Japanese people. And this guy became president and forgave. That is progress. His best friends were put in a hole. Pieces of their back were chopped off as they were left alive. And then they ate his friends. And George Bush was like in Japan going, it's so great to be here. And you know, in his head, he had to be like, and be here for dinner, not as, you know.
Yeah.
That's why he got one term.
Yeah. I can't even imagine how much therapy that would take to get over knowing that your enemy at that time ate your friends. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not even over a few ex-girlfriends, let alone if some goddamn Japs ate my boys. I'm having a flashback right now. God damn it. Kill these fucking Japs.
It's so mind blowing when you talk about like where I have so many thoughts on it, but like, cause I read this book Flyboys and they show a picture of one of the dudes who just ruthlessly murdered Americans. And he was a Rotary Club member in San Francisco living in America. And he was just taking pictures and he's taking pictures with guys who fought. He fought against, and they're taking pictures together. And you go, dude, that like someone tell all the people trying to cancel people. That is forgiven. That is like that shit. And they didn't even have PTSD back then. They just fucking drank it away.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The
PTSD is a new thing. That's a brand new thing. There's a documentary I watched just on HBO about PTSD, about how, you know, like even General Patton, like in World War II, he told this young soldier, like, stop being a pussy and run back out there. But he was suffering from shell shock. It's like now, like you will get taken off the battlefield if you're having PTSD because they treat it like a regular injury. But back in the day, it was like, unless you got a limb blown off, you had to continue to fight.
Bro, they would, and I mean, I'm obsessed with, it's so funny because just as History Hyenas leaves, I become obsessed with history. Obsessed. Bill Burr turns me on to this book, Flyboys. And I'm telling you, the first chapter of Flyboys is the most fascinating chapter I've ever read in any book in my life. And then I tore through this book. But these George W. Bush and his Flyboys, they would come in over Japan and then dive at these ships, trying to drop bombs. And they would literally roll the dice on death. And they would be sent to a plane, not knowing if they'd come back alive. And when they got back, they'd be sent down to the medic bay and they'd just give them a shot of whiskey and be like, you're going to be fine. That's it.
The Civil War, Civil War, the artillery was dramatic. I mean, it was fierce. It was cannons. It was iron. People got their legs blown off. There was no anesthesia. And most people who died in the Civil War actually died from infection. Just because they had no antibiotics either. So, and when they cut your leg off, they just gave you a stick to bite on and just said, sing Yankee Doodle Dandy and that's it. And then leg comes off.
That's what it was. I mean, yeah, there was a weapon in the Civil War. It was called the Devil's Breath. It's like, that's a fucking wild sounding weapon. Or what about, you ever seen the World War I documentary, They Shall Not Grow Old by Peter Jackson? That was unbelievable to see, to colorize World War I and how you died in the trenches. Most people died of diarrhea. Like that's what actually eventually killed them is diarrhea. And there's so many people would die. They would get the soldiers to get so weak that the latrines, because it was just like a hole in the trench, they would like have to go take cover and be on the bowl or something like that and fall in and drown in the other soldier's shit. Like that was a common way to die in World War I because it was full weakness.
This podcast is brought to you by Raycon. Look, I love to go to sleep listening to a podcast. My favorite one right now is The Dictators. And there's nothing better than listening to a podcast to go to sleep. My wife just got to Serbia, and now I can't just listen to my podcast by myself. So now I need earbuds. One of the best earbuds I have found are Raycon wireless earbuds. They make such a difference. They are fantastic. They look great. They feel even better. They come in ranges of cool colors, and they're customizable. Gel tips include a comfortable in-ear fit. They are tiny. They are built for on-the-go, wherever you go, with quick and seamless Bluetooth pairing, which I absolutely love, and a compact charging case. I'm telling you, the battery life on these things are fantastic. They last me through the night and well beyond. I then take them on my run in the mornings. And what's great is they're so much cheaper than the comparable earbuds that you find out there. Here's the deal. Raycon's offering 15% off all their products for my listeners. And here's what you got to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com/Burtcast. There you'll get 15% off your entire Raycon order. It's such good savings that I often buy two. I have four sets of Raycons, and I just have them in all my bags. I keep them all charged so I can throw them in. You'll get 15% off your entire order at Raycon. It's such a good deal. I'm telling you, grab yourself a pair and a spare. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/Burtcast. Buyraycon.com/Burtcast. This podcast is brought to you by SA Company. Holy shit, I've been wearing these every single day on my jogs in Serbia. These are great protective gear for the elements. And with me, I've been getting dust in my... Let me tell you what they are. They are multi-use face shields. They offer a UPF of 30. They are lightweight. They are breathable. They're those little sleeves you can pull up over your face. They're the perfect piece of protective gear that you need on your next adventure. I've been using them on my jogs. I've been using them. I have one on my jog to Hungary so I could throw it up around my face if I jog by anyone. Because you don't want to have a freaking big ass. Just throw it up on your face. I'm telling you, they're awesome. I've got an American flag one, a camo one, a digital black camo. I've got all of them. I've got the black American flag. They have so many different designs. And I'm telling you, I throw one around my wrist and I have it on just in case. And I've been using them, I swear to God, every run I do in Serbia. Anytime you see me with a video, you'll see it on my face. The SA face shields are perfect for your next outdoor adventure.
Whether you're working in the sun or in the cold, or going hunting or hiking or fishing or skiing or riding or biking or running in a park in Serbia, dozens of eye-catching colors for men and women and for children. One-size-fits-all, machine-washable, lifetime warranty. That is zero risk. SA believes in giving back to the men and women who put themselves on the front lines every day through their partnership with Operation Gratitude. They've donated well over 100,000 face shields. First responder, you get a great deal on an incredible product, plus chance to give back. Stay protected outdoors, because right now you can get an insane deal. Buy one, get four free. That's the one I got. I got five face shields. I'm telling you, it's $150 values for just $24.99. Go to safishing.com/Burt to get five face shields for the price of one, plus a lifetime warranty and free returns if you're not satisfied. That's safishing.com/Burt.
They would take these young Japanese boys would go and join the military because it was about honor. It was about honoring their emperor. And they didn't even fucking know this guy. And they would beat them within an inch of their life in training. That's how they train them. Beat them mercilessly. And then you think of the, like, I don't have this, but like, they were telling a story about one.
Let me just say this, Bert. That's the reason why you got to go Japanese car right there. Fuck. The honor system, yes. Dude.
Have you ever been to Japan?
Yeah, but no. If they fuck up one Lexus, the guy who fucks up has to walk out a window. And so that's how they keep the quality up.
Dude, Japan is fucking amazing. It is one of the greatest places I've ever been on the planet. And it's fucking clean. They're friendly. It's safe. It's one of the greatest places on the planet.
They don't have any animosity. You think like they'll always remember like what happened and like, one day they're going to do it to us?
What America did to Japan is so atrocious and like just so horrible. But it was I can't forgive just bombing innocent civilians. That just like in such massive form. But you know, it's history. So you just gotta roll with it. But
it's history.
It is what it is. And you just go. That's what I think is cool about history, is that it's definitive. It's like, you know, this is what happened. You can't deny that Japan went into China and started raping all the women, killing all the children, and putting them on spits. Like, that's history. It sounds bad, but it's history.
What are you going to do? And also, you know, with dropping the nuclear bomb, it's like, look, you know, they're flying. Kamikazes. They're flying planes into our boats. You know, the people, you know, like you just said, they'll get beaten to an inch of his life. It's like, what do you think? A fucking few bullets is going to stop them? It's like, no, you got to drop a nuke. And then also, there's a lot of people that think, you know, the United States, maybe didn't really need to drop the nuke on Japan, that Japan was going to surrender anyway because Russia was about to enter the war front on Japan. But United States had to show, Harry S. Truman had to show U.S. dominance by dropping the nuke because he was worried about what's going to happen after World War II if Russia thinks that they can fuck with everybody. He's like, he wanted to really let Russia know, like, yo, we got a lot of nuclear power. So don't fuck with us. So that's really the reason why a lot of people think why they actually dropped it. It's not necessarily to knock Japan out. They were already out. It was to keep Russia away.
But that kind of scare Russia. Yeah, but also, I mean, we do have to point out, since we are three American boys.
Yes.
That they did punch us first, Bert. I'm just saying, I'm not, dude, I'm not saying we should have posted them like that. I'm not saying
we should have
punched them. Bert,
they threw the first punch.
They woke up the boys, and then you know what? We said, it's lunchtime. Now you get in the bento box. That's just what happens.
Yeah, I was about to say, we have an episode about that on History Hyenas where we definitely take a side on whose fault it was. And let's be honest, if your parents told you, if you punch somebody, be expected to get punched back. Nobody ever said about getting nuked back, but you know, it happened.
Yeah, they didn't know. Japan didn't know the U.S. has been taking boxing lessons. They didn't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not our fault that we had invented the microwave at that point, you know?
Yeah.
It's not our fault. It's like, you know, they were still holding meat over a fire. We were like, we got a quicker way to do this.
Yeah, it's what it is. I mean, the kid Oppenheimer was born with 2 feet inside the United States. You know, I'm sorry. I mean, he should have been born in Japan. It didn't fucking happen. The boys won again.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point that a lot of people don't know about. The Japanese were absolutely atrocious to the Chinese.
Oh.
Absolutely. Some of the atrocities kind of parallel what the Nazis did in a lot of ways. So absolutely brutal. So it's like, you know, you know, if it wasn't for the boys, if it wasn't for the good old US of A, World War II, we really shined. That's when we celebrated greatness.
Right. Yeah. You know, that, yeah.
They call it the greatest generation for a reason. I mean, those boys, they stormed the beach at Normandy. You know what I mean? I get upset if my smoothie's off. So it's a different
storm the
beaches
of Normandy. I couldn't sit through the beginning of Saving Private Ryan. I literally had a panic attack watching the beginning. And my grandfather stormed the beach of Normandy, then had a stroke at 42 because he drank himself into a garage. Yeah. But yeah. That shit is, I have a hard time with people. When people go, hey, keep it to a tight 45. I go, no one tells me what to do.
Yeah. Dude, I used to be a physical therapist. And when I was doing physical therapy, I worked at the VA in downtown Manhattan, the Veterans Hospital. And so I would treat veterans from any war, not, you know, any U.S. veteran. And there was a time where I was treating World War II vets and Vietnam vets and Iraq vets, Iraq war vets, all for different reasons. And the World War II vets would call the Iraq vets pussies and would call Desert Storm vets pussies. And they would have this thing and they would call the Vietnam vets pussies because they would always say things like, you didn't go through what we went through. And I would listen and be fascinated by like how World War II vets looked at stuff because they really genuinely had like a lot more pride in, you know, being an American and they felt like they were defending America, where sometimes the Vietnam vets I would hear would be like, oh, it was a paycheck. It was like they looked at war like a job, but the World War II was like, the vets were like, we didn't need any money. We were defending the United States.
That is a different breed of human being who at 17 says to his mom, Mom, I want you to take me down to the recruiting center and sign me off because I'm going to war because I love this country. Yeah. I don't think we could field an intramural team with people.
One of the World War II vets I was with, I was treating him, whatever. I go in the next morning. I'm like, oh, I was supposed to treat him. I'm like, where is he? And then one of the nurses is like, oh, he ripped his catheter out last night in the middle of the night and didn't tell anyone. So he was bleeding all through the night, but slept through it. But now, you know, he's got a lot of problems because he lost too much blood. And then he was just in training. You know, he's in the physical therapy clinic like a few hours later, but he ripped a catheter out of his dick and didn't call a nurse. He just slept that off.
Yeah, there's no way we could fathom what they went through. Think about the least thing that they went through is probably something that we couldn't even get through for a couple hours. They slept outside. I mean, like they were just like lived outside and fought outside. My dad is a Korean War vet. He actually ripped his asshole in Korea. He was a Korean War vet because he had to shit outside and it was so cold at night that the shit would freeze on the way out and he ripped his asshole. He said, I ripped my asshole in Korea. And he also said, Korean whores got tight pussies. I'm sorry, my mother-in-law's here.
It's what it is.
Yeah, I got to make a living, Gianna. But it's true. That's what my dad said. He said, Korean whores got tight pussies. He sat down at the dinner table at a Lebanese restaurant with me and my brother. And when you get old and you're in your 80s, you just don't care anymore. And he let that one fly as soon as she was asking if we wanted coffee.
Yeah, it's just what it is. You got to
If you were wondering, that's what the truth is, apparently, from someone who has walked the walk.
Yeah. Even women, too. Like, even like, you know, like Giannis, like your mom, like stayed by your dad's side. World War II women, like stayed by their husband's side. It's like now it's like couples break up. If you're like not emotionally there for them, they'll walk. But it's like these women were staying with their guys when they were fucking going to war.
And not using sugar or tin cans so that it could help the war benefit. Like, can you imagine just going like, okay, we'll stop eating beans because we want our boys to get the beans.
Yeah, there was no equal pay movement then. They were like, you guys want to join us? They're like, no, you guys go ahead. We'll stay back and sew and whatever. Like, come on, let's be fair. Don't you women want to go in the military? Say, you guys go ahead. We'll wait till 2020 when we got enough artillery and we don't need to be. I mean, just go ahead. You go ahead. You guys are going to the coal mines. You go ahead. We don't need equal pay now. Just wait. Just wait a little while. Yeah.
I wonder when do you think, like, okay, this is a weird, a difficult question to answer. So now, like when I grew up, girls could get the same grades as boys and be doctors and lawyers just like boys. I'm not saying that the pay different thing isn't real or anything. I'm just saying that perspective-wise, Nell Rudolph got straight A's, and I was like, she's gonna fucking do something great, right? Because I wasn't. Now, when do you think in history that women like when I think of like a 1918, 1911 woman, I can't imagine her literally being in the trenches going, come on, let's fucking get them. But I can visualize those women today, right? Like women in our military, I can see them going, fuck, he's around the corner. You know, like I can see that. What year do you think women pivoted where they were like, fuck, I actually want to fucking go out there and fucking lay some blood down on the streets?
Joan of Arc, dude. Joan of Arc.
Well, what am I talking about?
That was the original Boys Don't Cry movie, except it didn't have a bad ending, dude. Yeah. I mean, everyone thought she was a dude, but she was a girl, and she kicked ass. And
I bet there have been women like that all through history.
Dude, she was taping her titties down in like the 13th century. She was ahead of her time. She was like the Jack Johnson of being a female soldier. She was the original trans woman.
She was. Yeah. Maybe when Wonder Woman came out, too. You never know. Wonder Woman could have hyped people up.
She did, yeah. And Wonder Woman goes invisible. That's a great power to have.
You want to talk about someone who'll get cracked open? How about Wonder Woman?
Wonder Woman was a hot piece of ass.
Gal Gadot, it's like, yeah, what's up?
Yeah, also, you know, in the Civil War, Clara Barton, she was like, she founded the Red Cross. She was so tough, she would just walk out in the middle of the battle and pull soldiers off. And like and rescue them like while they were bleeding. And she did it for both sides too. And as the artillery was going off, like Clara Barton would just walk in, pull soldiers out. So that's pretty brave, you know?
Oh yeah, you think those, all the fucking nurses that were on the front lines, fucking bombs blowing up around them. And then they're there just to try to save someone's fucking leg.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what about the Molly Pitcher is another story. Molly Pitcher in the Revolutionary War, allegedly her husband got killed. He was like manning a cannon and her husband got killed by, you know, British gunfire. And then she took over the cannon and started launching cannonballs. And the only reason why I even know about it is because they named a rest stop after off the New Jersey Turnpike. So it's like Molly Pitcher should be an American hero, but she's just got a fucking Roy Rogers inside of her now.
Dude, Wonder Woman was so fucking hot. Wonder Woman is when I first realized I was straight. Like when I realized, there's something inside of me burning to get out, and it's fucking Wonder Woman.
I felt that way about Smurfette. Peace.
Yeah.
Really?
Remember Smurfette? Yeah. You remember Smurfette?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
You know, I felt that way about Barbara Walters. That's who used to get me going. I would watch, I swear to God, I used to watch 2020. I just think about Barbara. I'm sorry, I have to cut it off because my girlfriend walked into the room. So I just want to say that I love and respect women.
there was a cartoon called The Boogaloos, and the female Boogaloo. Oh fuck, I was into her. Holy shit!
Yeah, female Boogaloo's hot.
Charlie's Angels. Farrah Fawcett.
See, I was always into the blondes. I was never into brunettes. Like I was just talking to Burr about this. Janet from Three's Company, not my style. Chrissy, fuck yeah.
Chrissy. Janet looked like an angry feminist. She had an angry feminist haircut.
Yeah. And she was never fun. She was always like, Jack, you're doing this wrong, Jack.
Yeah.
Jack. Yeah. You know, you're going to get caught by Mr. Roper.
Yeah. And in Florida, there's a lot of hot blondes, too. That's why. Hot blondes, Florida, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought I'd end up marrying a blonde chick. Yeah. I thought, without a doubt, blonde, big tits, not that intelligent. That's my speed.
Right.
And then I married fucking brunette, fucking whatever.
But you guys are both from the South, right?
Yeah.
So family gatherings, full on Republican festivals.
I'm not my family, but yeah.
Yeah. You better cut out that part of you saying, Bert, that you think that what happened in Japan was wrong. You better cut that shit out so the public hears that. Yeah.
Listen, her cousins, or as we like to call them, the Oath Keepers,
they're holding on to 2024.
Dude, my wife's a fucking savage. She got Invisalign, right? Invisalign at 50, and they had to put like beads on her teeth. I don't know how Invisalign works, but I just was like, fucking 50. You decide to get cosmetic surgery and it's your teeth? That's what you pick?
That's the first step, man. She is out the door. I smell a divorce.
Yeah, she's getting back out there. Yeah. Catching the second wind.
I like it, dude. You're going abroad, so she.
I go, who are you fixing your teeth for? She goes, going myself. Ledge. I'm like, the fuck you are?
No, it's over, dude. It's over.
Yeah. Yeah, women always say they're doing it for other women. You're like, is that really yeah. what you're doing?
Yeah.
I remember the first girl I met who had a breast reduction, and I thought she was joking. I was 27. I was 27. And she told me her name. I'll tell you, I don't want to, I'll edit her name out. Her name, she's like a big actress. And she told me she got a breast reduction, and I started laughing. And I was like, that's hilarious. You should use that as a bit. And she was like, no, my back hurt. And I go, your back hurt. Oh God. She was like, I couldn't jog. And I'm like, you couldn't jog. Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
You know, she had to pay for that herself, because no man is going to pay for that surgery. I'm like, no, they're going to keep trying to talk you out of it. Babe, listen, we all just do some back, lower back exercises. Just trust me. It's a gift from God. Don't do it.
So Gurra and I were talking about, this is not as funny as that.
About how much money you guys got?
No. We were talking about big dick problems. And so our fans were like, hey, send us your big dick problems, because we don't have big dicks. And one guy goes, I have a big dick and it actually is horrible. One time I was playing basketball with a bunch of black guys, and they saw my dick through my pants and thought I was hard, and they beat me up and broke out all my teeth. And he was like, I couldn't just say I have a big dick. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah, no, dude, like if you got a really big one, you can't, you got to hold it, right? Like you can't, it requires so much blood. Like you'll get lightheaded to fill it up. It's like, and it hurts too. Women don't want it too big, right? They want it just like women, especially the way women kind of just are so specific. Like Leonardo DiCaprio's hot, but he's hot like in The Departed, not the, like, it's just like, you can't please these bitches.
Yeah,
you get big dicks don't go all the way in.
They don't,
and they don't get all the way hard. And you can't. So I'd much rather fucking touch oil, strike oil, and get all the way in there than fucking have half of my dick sitting out, fucking playing pinochle
in the cold. It's like having your feet out under a blanket.
Yeah.
As long as it's circumcised, it's good for me. As long as you got a circumcised piece, I'm good with it. I had a friend who got circumcised when he was 19 years old. He literally just went in and got circumcised. He came into school on crutches. And, you know, I was like, why do you have crutches? And I was like, did you hurt your ankle or something? He was like, no. I was like, did you hurt your back? He was like, no. I was like, what'd you do? He was like, I got circumcised. And then I at 19. And then I looked at it. His dick was horrendous, dude. It was fucking three times the size. It was all bandaged up. He got it for a girlfriend that he was dating at the time. She was like, oh, I don't feel comfortable with an uncircumcised penis. And then she dumped him like 3 weeks later.
Wow. Shut the fuck up.
What happens, dude? He lost fucking girth. That's why I like to put my warts on.
I didn't know that circumcision, I didn't know people could be uncircumcised. I just never paid attention until I got to college. Mike Angelides, Greek, uncircumcised. We called him sock cock. And he, he would get naked all the time, but it wasn't even like he would, like, in our fraternity, like, didn't have a problem with nudity, but it wasn't like he was totally naked because he was uncircumcised. So his dick was still kind of hiding.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, Greek guys love taking their piece out around other guys. It's kind of just like in our DNA. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, what, if they try to come after me with that straight white male shit, I'm going to be like, I'm Greek. Okay. We're not white and we're definitely not straight. So read a history book.
And I'm going to say the same, dude. I just did my 23andMe thing, and it says I'm 90% Neanderthal. So I'm going to be like, listen, guy, I'm fucking Neanderthal. I got the proof.
Yeah, you know, I used to always, like, because of your forehead, I always suspected that you got a big helmet head.
Yeah. Because as soon as I saw it, I posted. I said, Giannis has been saying this, because Giannis has been calling me Christy Cro-Magnums for a long time. And then I saw, and then I got 23andMe. It says fucking 90, more than, I'm in the 90th percentile for Neanderthal, which is wild.
Yeah.
For real, the best joke I've ever heard about 23andMe is from that guy, James Altucher. Do you know that guy?
No, we know James Altucher.
Is that the same guy?
James Altucher is a Bitcoin millionaire that owns Stand Up New York.
That guy. He told me a joke. He said, "I'm 99.9 Ashkenazi Jew and 0.01% Sub-Saharan Africa." I said, yeah. And he goes, I don't think that was a date, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I found out I have like 36% Turkish. And, you know, the Turks enslaved the Greeks for 400 years, the Ottomans. So I don't think that was the date either. Yeah. I think there was some non-consensual sex happening. And what can you do? I wouldn't be here without it. So you can't make omelets without breaking a few eggs.
This podcast is supported by Upstart. Look, paying off debt, I'm looking at my wife right now, is an uphill battle. Come here and tell, just come in behind me. How much debt were you in when we met?
I don't remember. I had student loans.
That's not a big wide shot.
I don't remember. I had student loans.
It can often feel like an uphill battle. Yes. High interest rates resulting from a minimum monthly payment keeps you in an endless cycle of debt. Upstart can help you get ahead. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off debt with a personal loan all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debts, or funding personal expenses like you did on that cruise you went on. You took a debt for that.
I did.
Yeah. Over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get simple, fixed monthly payments. Unlike other lenders, Upstart looks at more than just your credit score, like your income and employment history. That was what Leanne had, great income. She was working as a waitress, and her employment history is flawless. That means they can offer smart rates with trusted partners. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate up front for loans between $1,000 to $50,000. You can receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payment today when you go to upstart.com/Burt. That's upstart.com/Burt. Don't forget the URL to use our URL to let them know we sent you, okay? That's upstart.com/Burt. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/Burt.
Do you speak Greek?
I speak very little Greek, which is like Greeks consider a disability if they find out about.
Did you ever do the thing where they throw a cross in a river and you had to swim to it?
Oh, I thought you meant to do the thing where if you get a girl born, they throw it off the cliff. Because we did that for sure. That's Spartan tradition. You just keep having sex. You keep impregnating the woman until a man comes up. The girls go off the cliff. Yeah. You don't use them. But what was your question? I'm sorry.
They do the big thing in Tarpon Springs. I think it's Tarpon Springs in Tampa.
The sponge dive.
Yeah, they throw a big cross in the water, and all the young Greek boys dive in to get it. And then whoever gets the cross has good luck for a year.
No, that's specific to Tarpon Springs. That's the biggest.
Well, Franks and Beans. Yeah.
Yeah. And Tarpon Springs has I think the biggest Greek community in the country, right? Because of the sponge industry, right?
I think so. Yeah. My sister dated a Greek kid who got the cross.
What do you mean? Wow. What do you mean the sponge? Like
that's what they did there. They dove for the sponges. Like they did the sponges.
Like
there.
Sponges in the sea? Or I thought you meant like scrub daddies.
Yeah,
no, not scrub. Yeah, no, nature's sponges. They're valuable for some reason. I guess they used to use those sponges as sponges before they made scrub daddies. So
Greeks are a little inbred. It's just what it is.
It's part of what the situation is. I mean, look at my eyes. They're just a little close together, and that's what happens.
Yeah, it's just
cousins island. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, Greek. Yeah, Giannis's mom and dad just were third cousins. It's what it is. It's just technically it's not street legal. What happens? You know,
it's but not street you legal. You can't do anything about it, and I have to constantly manicure my eyebrows, or they turn into fucking caterpillars that turn into butterflies and fly off my face. We're inbred. Paranoid kids who just have cash hidden in the wall and don't trust the Chinese.
Yeah.
I've been to Corfu. It's the only place I've ever been to in Greece.
Dude, you would... Mykonos is calling for you, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you went to Mykonos, you would not sleep, dude. I would check in on you. There'd be a fucking burp champ. You'd have a lamb on your head. You'd be doing Ouzo shots.
Divorce. I swear, this is insanely true. Right after I was in Russia and got involved with the mafia, I backpacked through Europe and I went to Corfu to this place called the Pink Palace and I had a fucking blast. I had such a great time that we went immediately from Greece up to Amsterdam. I've talked about this on stage. All true. We grab my buddy Weecho who flies in. We go to a live sex show, Flying Dildos, right? And at the end, I get on stage, they put a dildo in my mouth, they handcuff me, the girl fucks my face, and these fucking 12 guys are waiting outside And they're like, you're the funniest motherfucker in the world. We would do anything with you again. And I said, let's get on a train and go to fucking Corfu. We got on a train overnight from fucking Amsterdam all the way to Bari, Italy, took the boat over to Corfu. And when we got there, I swear on the lives of my children. I swear on the lives of my children. We walk into this place, the Pink Palace, and the first person that sees me goes, the machine!
Wow.
And started handing us Uzos. I looked at these guys. I was like, this is going to be the greatest fucking week of our lives.
Wow.
It was a blast.
Wow. So the video went viral that quick. No, I get it. The dude, he knew you from that?
I partied because I'd partied there like 2 weeks before. And I was like, I'm coming back to the Pink Palace. This is a blast. And I'd partied so hard that, and my nickname was the machine. That's what everyone was calling me. And they were breaking plates over our heads. I ended up getting naked in the middle of this dance floor with a supermodel. And the fucking place, it was like the party, the way they took party was to the next fucking level. Like it was just then. And it was so dialed in for who I am. Like get pull out a table. Someone's dancing on it. Like it was just so, and I left and I was like, I'll be back. And when I walked in with these guys, I had like 12 dudes with me, 3 USF football players, a dude from Tennessee, a dude from Australia, 3 French Canadians, and my buddies, Chad, PJ, Weecho, and Tyler, and Weecho. And we walked in and the first words out of their mouth were, the machine. And I was like, we're going to have a fucking blast, guys.
Dude, you could unite the world and party. I think you could do it.
I would do it. I guarantee you, if you give me 1 week with Kim Jong-un, I could straighten shit out.
You could straighten shit out. I'll tell you a funny story. When I was in, last time I was in Crete, my mother's from the island of Crete, which is the biggest one. And this is how bad my Greek is. I was with my buddy, my old college roommate. This is when we traveled in college. You know, we did like the month in Europe where you see Canadians and they got the fucking Canadian flags on their bags just to tell foreigners that they're not American. Go fuck yourselves, Canada. You're not even a real country. You're pretend America. We don't even know you're up there, okay? Justin Trudeau he's a great Indian prime minister, but other than that, fuck you, okay?
Justin Trudeau's got good Halloween costumes.
He's got good Halloween. He's a good. We appreciate the diversity that you have an Indian prime minister, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So this guy was like trying to dance with the girl I was with at the club in Crete. And so he's trying to dance with her, and I was getting mad. And I kept saying to him in Greek, I said, "Το κοριτσάκι είναι δικά σου." What? My mother-in-law and my wife are laughing right now. They're Greek. I was going, "The koritsakis είναι δικά σου." And I kept saying it over. And what I was saying to him is, "The girls are yours," even though I was acting like I was trying to get her away. So he just looked confused, going like, "What? What are you talking?" Because I was like, my energy was aggressive, but I was going like, "The girls are yours. The girls are fucking yours. Take the girls."
I was with Rachel Ray in Mexico, and we were in Mexico City. We were doing something, and we got bodyguards. And I told her, I said, my Spanish sucks. She goes, really? I said, yeah, my bodyguard, the first night I was like, we're going to go out and party. And I said to him, we went out to a bar. I had him go out with me to a bar and it was fucking sketchy. And I said to him, hey, do you want a beer in Spanish? And he said, no. And I said, do you want a cigar? And he was like, no. I said, do you want marijuana? And he was like, no. And then we got home and I said, and I realized I'd been saying to him the whole time, tú tienes, as opposed to tú quieres. I was saying, do you have beer? And he was like, no. And I was like, do you have cigars? And he's like, no. And I'm being really aggressive. Do you have marijuana? She goes, when did you know you had fucked up? I go, at the end of the night when he went to sit outside my room. And I said, do you want to go to bed with me? But really I said, you have to go to bed with me. And then she said, let's take our bodyguards down to the beach and make them fight.
Dude, Bert's had a fascinating life, right? I mean, this guy's from fucking 18 years old. Just been, I mean, you're just incredible. All over the world, fucking movies about you. It's nuts. And now you're doing a podcast with the History Hyenas.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's like a couple of universal languages, right? Like there's like music. And then I think one of the underrated universal languages is partying.
Yeah,
it's like everyone likes to party. You can party across cultures. You know what I mean? It's like you don't need to speak the culture to party. You don't need to know the culture, speak the language to really party it up with someone. The same as, you know, appreciate music. I don't need to know the words of a German opera to really get into it.
Yeah, and Bert's one of those guys because it's like you are just literally, at least what it appears, is getting every ounce out of life and being so happy and positive. Like, you're going to be one of those guys who just lives to 100. And people can be like, I don't know how this fucking guy lived past 30. But he's just 100.
I hope. I just want to outlive Segura. I want people to be at his funeral going, it should have been him.
Yeah. Well, dude, I know when one of you guys dies, are you guys gonna like charge it? Is it gonna be like a live stream, or what are you guys gonna do at one of your funerals?
It's yeah. gonna be are you a gonna live do, stream funeral you for two 10, guys 1049.
Warren yeah. Sapp's gonna be there.
Yeah.
You guys are fucking great. Screwed. And it's I look up to you guys because you guys have run with this, man. And it's so amazing to see you guys just crush it.
Oh, yeah. It's Segura. Segura's such a fucking business brain where he goes, he figures stuff out. And then I'm like, you know, I'm not even joking. I'll say something as a joke to him to make him laugh. And then he'll go, I think I can work. And then you'll be like, what? Like, I pitched a movie to him called Fat Astronauts.
Yeah.
And I was just as a joke trying to make him laugh. And then he just sent me a script. And he goes, what do you think? And I go, oh, it's fucking good. And he goes, it needs an ending. And I was like, I got an ending for it. And I sent him the most ridiculous ending. He gets on the phone. He goes, I fucking love it. Let's do it. And so, like, he is one of those guys that it, like, he puts pen to paper on everything he does. And I'm one of the guys, I like to talk shit. I like to have ideas. I never follow through with anything. Dude, I have more projects with that guy. We were talking about our deaths. And we were saying, how long would it take before you got over the death of your wife? And I was like, I bet I would be over it before people were comfortable with. Like, right. I bet I'd be like, they'd be like, he's already dating. And I'd be like, well, you know, guys, I was on the road a lot. We spent, you know, whatever. And then he goes, how would you deal with my death? And I very quickly goes, oh, I would never be able to replace you. Like, and he was like, I think we're supposed to say that about our wives.
Yeah. Well, your wives don't make you any money. I get it.
Yeah. They just siphon money out. My relationship with Segura, we sell these fucking Two Bears, One Cave hats that we cannot keep on the shelf. I mean, we have boatloads coming in from China and he's like, they're already sold out.
Yeah. I believe it, man. It's fucking humongous. And like Giannis said, it's like, it's doing it all the right way. Like, you know, you're a little bit in, you know, like, you know, even the littlest part of your career is in TV and movies, and most of it's, you know, podcasting, and your fans are dictating all your success, which is, I think, like the key in what everybody should be doing.
I'll tell you right now, you want to know the greatest moment in friendship history that there ever's been? And it's a little bit of a perfect storm. Is I got fired. I was on Travel Channel for like 9 years. I get fired from Travel Channel. I get kicked off the Oddball tour for no reason. I didn't do anything, but they just didn't. They canceled dates and I was on all of them. My house is getting redone and my wife wants to get me to get a vasectomy. All this is happening within 1 week. And on that 1 week, I talked to Segura, Rogan, and Burr. Rogan and Burr, there's a picture of it. I'm at the store. There's the picture of the conversation that is out there. It was on the Comedy Store documentary. Rogan and Burr told me, they're like, quit your fucking show. Your show sucks. Your TV show sucks. They're like, you're such a better stand-up. You're such a better podcaster. Like, your show sucks. And they were like, and Burr goes, what's your nut? And I told him, and he goes, yeah, we can help you get that. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, we'll just get you some advertisers on your podcast. We can help. You know what we got to do? Boost your podcast numbers. And then I went to Tom, and Tom said, I will get you a sponsor. I will get you an ad salesperson. But first, at the time, you had to get 50,000 downloads to get ad sales. And he was like, we got to get you to 50,000. I was at like 35, 40. And he goes, you got to be consistently at 50. And then we got to get you over 100 to get you some real money. And then once we get you there, we're fine. And so these guys all just piled onto my podcast and told, and like really kind of helped me get to a place where all of a sudden I didn't have to worry about money because I had podcast money coming in. I didn't have to worry about leaving and doing the road. Dude, everyone, and I know for a fact I've always been like that. If anyone ever needs help podcasting, the way these guys kind of picked me up and dusted me off after I felt like I was fucking done, bro. 43 years old, 44 years old, not my special aired and it fucking tanked. No one watched it. And these three guys were like, come on, we'll help you out.
That's so dope.
It's a fucking, it's dude, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's, like, your story, in my opinion, is like all the people, most of the people who have success, you know, they've been lifted up by their peers. It hasn't been a network or a movie. That the gatekeepers, it's not that. It's like we're each other's gatekeepers now. You know what I mean? Where it's like you having, you know, Rogan and Burr and those guys lifting you up, they did more than the Travel Channel or Netflix or any network could ever do. Like, you know, so that's why it's staying power too, because that's why I think that, you know, the numbers are in the masses. Like, if you could do anything tomorrow and for some bullshit reason, get canceled. And they're like, oh, the thing abroad is not going to happen, whatever TV network. But it's like, you just go back to your podcast and your stand up and the stuff you're doing, Segura, because your fans will be like, dude, we know that's all bullshit. We love you. That's where the real power is.
Yeah. I feel very, very blessed to have gotten into, to honestly have run into Joe Rogan when I did, because he was so instrumental in all of us focusing on our careers in a different way than we had. All of us wanted television and movies and all that shit. And he immediately was like, you have to get a podcast. You have to start a podcast to all of us. It was so great because we did. And I think it's such, when the pandemic happened, all of us just doubled down on our podcasts.
That's it. And I think the people, like some younger comics or people right now being like, oh, I can't start a podcast now, it's too late. I disagree. I think I think it's just actually starting. Like, I know there's people who have gotten humongous off of all you guys and the Rogans, but I still think it's just the beginning. Like, I still think, like, you have to start it now and build your fans now. That's the only way.
Well, I think and you two are a perfect example. I definitely think, you know, comedy goes in waves. And I think the wave that you guys are on right now is the next wave of it's the big stars are in your circle, your clique, all the guys you started with, all the guys you hang with. And I'll tell you, honestly, I knew both of you guys, but in passing, not enough. But as soon as I started listening to History Hyenas, I was like, I was crying. I mean, I remember reaching out to people going like, I remember hitting up Segura. I was like, dude, these guys are fucking hilarious. And, and another thing is like good comics love good comics. Good comics love good comics. And they like, people think it's the opposite, that comics surround themselves with bullshit so they stand out. Fuck no. So one of the beautiful things about podcasting is that you guys are fucking hilarious and it just does wonders for me. And then if I can do the same, the tide raises all the boats or whatever.
Yeah. Rising tides takes up all ships. Rising tide rises all ships. Yeah.
I agree, man. I agree. Yeah. I think it's just like, you know, you put the product out there and it's either like funny or not funny, interesting or not interesting. There's no other hangups with the podcast. There's no like, oh, you have to get these certain numbers. Like, yo, we just put our shit out and the people tell us and our peers tell us how it is. I think Giannis and I, that's one of the things we certainly take pride on a lot, is to have the respect we have from our peers in the game for doing what we're doing. So, I'd much rather, and like you said, dude, there's no managers, no agents involved, nobody. If somebody would have told Giannis and I, you know, if we would have brought History Hyenas to our agent or managers, they would have been like, no, the show's so stupid. You're not even making any sense. You've created your own language. Like, what are you calling people sauce monkeys for? And it's just like, but we just did it. And that's what I think the beauty about a podcast is. Like, even like you and Segura, like, you don't run anything by anybody. You just fucking do it.
Yeah, and they hate it the most because they don't get any money off it. That's where they hate it the most.
They're going to find a way. They will get it. But until then, let's just fucking put it in Bitcoin, baby.
You know, comics love good comics the most. I think comics are the only ones who, like, no matter how big a comedian is, other comedians would be like, that guy sucks, you know?
Right.
And if some guy's not even that famous at all, they'll be like, no, that guy's good. Like, that's comics. The comic respect thing has nothing to do with fame. It's all has to do with, like, whether the guy's actually funny or not, which is, like, really great. That's a great thing about comics, is that they respect guys who are also funny, no matter what they got, no matter how small they are, they're bigger. A lot of guys who are bigger will always see a younger guy and be like, yo, that guy's good. And a lot of times that's how that guy gets known, is because some older comic sees him and says, this guy's good. You know, well, the industry's looking to cast, really. They're looking to fulfill, you know, because TV shows are commercials for commercials. That's all they really are. So it's just casting for demographics, and if you look at it that way.
Yeah.
Because every time you hear about a show that was a success, it's always a story of guys going like, yeah, they didn't want to put it on.
Right.
It was like, we had to fight for it. And then it became the biggest hit, you know, and then they spend the next 10 years trying to imitate that show. It's hilarious. Yeah.
I did Something's Burning, and no one wanted to do that. I pitched it everywhere. No one wanted to do it. No one wanted to do it. Just started doing it because Burr funded it. Burr threw money at it and it's like, let's make it. And we did. And now literally I've said no to networks that I would have loved to work for back in the day, where I was like, I don't, not even arrogant, just like, I don't really want to listen to anyone. Like, yeah. I don't want to hear your notes. And you I appreciate that, it, but I'm good.
That was one of the funnest, when I did that with Schultz, that was one of the funnest times I had. I laughed. Dude, I was just, it was like 3 hours of laughing. Like, it was a good time.
Yeah. It's,
and then
it's,
I did it with
Sal
Volcano. And that was the beginning of our friendship, where it eventually lead to our podcast. Hey, babe, but then we left Hiatus.
So when are you guys coming to LA next?
I'm actually coming very soon. I'm actually coming soon.
How soon? Yeah. Before April?
Yeah, in March.
Okay. Yeah, same with me. I'll be there early March too.
Let's do. So I got a new podcast studio, and I'm doing outdoors, socially distant, COVID tested podcasts. I know you guys. I know you guys have all had it.
Yeah, I've had it for sure. I never had it.
I still haven't had it because I'm a fucking Neanderthal.
Segura called me last night, and he goes, "I can't believe you haven't had this fucking disease,
dude."
I'm like, "Yeah, I can't believe it." But when you guys come out here, let's do an in-person podcast. I got to go shoot something with Sebastian Maniscalco at 3:30. Oh. But when you guys come out here, text me. Let's do one in person. We'll get some white wine for Chrissy Asma.
We'll go fucking nuts. I'll be out there. When are you going to be out there, Giannis? Do you know your dates?
No, I don't know them yet, but March for sure. I'll let you know, Bert, for sure.
If you guys are together or if it's separate, it doesn't matter. I could talk to you guys. Honestly, I mean this sincerely. You guys make me laugh harder than any two motherfuckers out there right now. It's so fun when you find funny fucking people and you see their Instagram feed or their podcast and you're like, oh, nice. And I got to be the beauty of History Hyenas not moving forward is you guys are doing shit separately. So I get it double now. So. Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Really appreciate it.
I'm always
that.
Come the back. Feeling, thank you, bro.
Feelings mutual, man. You're awesome. A big fan. So
I love you guys.
Thanks for having
Stay me. Safe. Let's do something course, in LA, okay? Awesome. Thanks, right, guys. Love you guys.
Love you, hon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Peace. Peace.
Bye.
This episode was brought to you by The Machine.